ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Breer, our guy, brought to you by Valparaiso University. I'll be there on Thursday to see Matt Loddick's club when they take on Bradley. So looking forward to that. Hopefully the snow has cleared because, oh my God, we're getting 40,000 feet of snow.
My God, the entire Valparaiso basketball team taking on a guy named Bradley. That should be interesting. Five on one.
Bradley's really good. He's a really good player.
All right. Look forward to it.
I don't know his last name. Brave. I think it's Brave.
Bradley Brave. Okay.
Anyway, Albert, good morning. Do you shovel your own driveway, sidewalk, whatever, or no, I'm Albert Breer. I have a snowplow service.
I do shovel my porch, and I shovel the little walkway from the driveway to the house. So I do some manual labor. But, guys, my driveway is really long, and it's dirt. And I'm not messing with that. We have a plow come over and take care of it for us.
There you go.
Well said.
That's money well spent, Albert Breer.
I mean, money, time is money, right? And, I just don't see the sense in, especially, like, during a time of year when I'm generally pretty busy. It would probably take me 2 or 3 hours to shovel my driveway. Ooh. Not worth it.
Wow. Jeez.
Sports Illustrated money.
Yeah. Right
now. Yeah, Sports Illustrated money's good.
Nah, I don't know about that. It's just my house happens to be back off the road.
And by the way, you don't have to shovel on your birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We won't say what my age is here because it's kind of a little more depressing every year, you know?
That's it.
You're ageless. Ageless at Albert. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell us, you know, the Super Bowl is set, and boy, we had a fun time watching these two games. What resonated most with you on Championship Sunday?
I'd say Brady. I mean, I just think it's just insane what he's accomplishing. And, you know, you start to look at some of the numbers, and twice as many playoff wins as anybody, twice as many Super Bowl appearances as anybody. This is a number I saw this morning. I'm going to tweet this out a little later. Do you know that he has more playoff wins since he turned 35 than any other quarterback has ever? He has 17 playoff wins since he turned 35. The next most playoff wins by any quarterback all time is Joe Montana with 16.
That's insane.
It's crazy. And so, I know he threw the three picks, and I know there are certain people out there that are saying, well, you know, it wasn't really him. You cannot tell me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be sniffing that game without him. And, you know, to go in there and change a place like that, and I actually think it carries over to the other side of the ball, too, where just having him as your quarterback brings a sense of swagger and confidence to the team. And the way the defense played down the stretch, and, you know, I think just having watched the Patriots and been around the Patriots all those years, it's like just this belief that Brady's teams always have. I think you saw all of it on Sunday. And so when Brady wasn't perfect, you know what? The defense was capable of picking him up because the defense knew if we make it happen for him, he'll make a play at the end of the game. And, of course, you know, at the end of the game, he makes the throw to Evans, which puts them in position to pick up the first down. He makes the throw that draws the pass interference, and Aaron Rodgers never gets the ball back.
So watching these two games, like I fully expected, stupid on my behalf, man, he's got turf toe, Patrick Mahomes. He's coming out of concussion protocol. Their offensive line is in a state of flux. Mitchell Schwartz didn't play. Then Eric Fisher goes down. Patrick Mahomes, that guy didn't look like he had any after effect of any injury. He was ridiculous.
He's a freaking sorcerer. It's unbelievable. I mean, I the big question with all these quarterbacks, you guys know this. The big question with all of these quarterbacks is, can you win past your rookie deal, right? Like, that, I think, is what it's become in the NFL since the rookie contract, the rookie salary scale went into place. And so, you know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks make it pretty far while they're on their rookie deals because the teams are capable of putting great players around them. And so we saw it happen with Jared Goff, and we saw it happen with Carson Wentz, and we've seen it happen with a lot of guys. I think what we're seeing now is Patrick Mahomes' ability to carry people, which is such an important next step for a young quarterback. And it's not like, I mean, he just signed his new deal and the numbers haven't really kicked in yet. So there are going to be some challenges ahead for the Chiefs from a team building standpoint. But you hit it on the head there. Like, yeah, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were awesome. But, like, the offensive line was a mess. No Mitchell Schwartz, no Eric Fisher for part of the game, no Sammy Watkins. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's been banged up. Le'Veon Bell didn't play. I mean, it's just you look down the line and all the guys they were missing on offense, and he was still the best player on the field. And I think the best player on the field by a wide margin. And so, you know, it's just sort of – and I think it's sort of similar to Brady in that way now, where, you know, the Chiefs believe, like, just no matter who's in there, as long as 15 is the quarterback, they're going to have a chance, no matter what the circumstance is. And I think you saw that with the confidence they played in that game, despite missing some really key pieces. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where the ceiling is for Patrick Mahomes. It's like he's doing this at 25 years old, and if, you know, he's got a chance to get, you know, a lot better than this, which, you know, happens with quarterbacks in their late 20s and into their 30s, I mean, look out.
Albert, let's talk about the teams that fell short on Sunday, the Bills and Green Bay. I want to find out, first of all, your thoughts about the future for the Bills moving forward. Then Green Bay, we saw the story this morning. One published report says that Rodgers should want a new contract. That's through a league source. He makes $33.5 million. What's the future of both teams, the Bills and the Packers?
I think the Bills are in really good shape. You know, as long as Josh Allen continues to build, I think that they're going to be just fine. You look at their players too. I mean, most of them are like 26 and younger. The really good ones, the cornerstone guys. Like you look down the line, Tremaine Edmonds and Tre'Davious White and Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox and Deion Dawkins and the two backs, Singletary and Moss, and then of course Allen, Ed Oliver. It's a really, really young team, and so I don't see any reason why the Bills shouldn't continue to get better. They're going to have to pay some of the guys. It's going to change the dynamic, but I think they've got a really solid foundation in place. Green Bay is fascinating. Do I think the Packers are going to trade Rodgers? No. Do I think that what Rodgers said was 100% intentional and he knew exactly what he was doing? Absolutely. And if it wasn't, then he would have come out and said something by now, you know, otherwise. And so I think he's sending a message to the team, guys, and I don't think it's necessarily get me the hell out of here. I think it's more than anything else probably looking at the way some of the other teams were built and looking at the aggression of some of the other front offices and saying to himself, like, why can't we be that way? And they were aggressive two off-seasons ago. They've been different under their new GM, Brian Gutekunst. But, I mean, I think a big part of it is looking at the Chiefs and seeing – you know, the way that they loaded up and going and getting Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu for the defense and signing Sammy Watkins and finding a way to keep Sammy Watkins and paying Tyreek Hill, drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, and then, of course, the Bucs, what they've done and building that roster up. And I think, you know, sort of a message maybe from Rodgers to the front office that he wants them to act with the same sense of urgency he has to have, because he has to have that sense of urgency because he doesn't have very many shots left.
All right, so let's go from setting the table there with the teams that played this weekend and two that are moving on to there are all of these reports that there could be as many as 18, I think Schefter said last night, I'll take the over on it, 18 quarterback changes in the National Football League. And another one of the men that you also work in the same industry as, Jay Glazer, said the Bears are all in to get a long-term answer and get the best guy out there. What are you hearing with Chicago and quarterbacks?
I just think there's going to be a game of musical chairs that's going to happen. And I don't think the Bears have a singular plan on what they're going to do. But I think they know they need to fix it. And there's pressure on Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace especially to get it right. And so I don't think treading water cuts it anymore, guys. I really think there's almost like this Mahomes effect in the NFL now, which – I think if you look back like 10 years, it used to be okay to have a quarterback who was like maybe like the 10th best player at the position or the 12th best player in the position. It used to be okay. Like, and I think if you look at it, you'd see like an Eli Manning rising up and winning two Super Bowls, Joe Flacco rising up and winning a Super Bowl, Russell Wilson, who, you know, is a great player now, but I don't think he was a top five quarterback when they won. Like, you used to be able to do that, and I just don't know that you can anymore. And I think a big reason why is because of who's standing in the way. And you look and you see Patrick Mahomes there, and I think for a lot of teams, it's like looking at this, it's almost like you're looking at a mountain now for the next 10 years. It's like, how are we going to get past Patrick Mahomes? And then you watch Josh Allen play, and he's not there yet, but man, he's got a huge ceiling. And you look at Justin Herbert with the Chargers, and what could he become? And so, like, I think for a lot of teams in the NFL, the reason this game of musical chairs is going to go on is because I think there's, like, sort of this feeling like we can't just be okay at the position anymore. Like, we need to find a way to be great. And so it's going to be interesting to see the sort of movement that that creates. You know, I think there are teams that even are okay at the quarterback position, like the Raiders, the Rams, the Niners, that are going to look at the idea of upgrading. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting with guys, you know, like a Sam Darnold, like a Matthew Stafford potentially on the market. And then also some guys with some really interesting tools available in the draft beyond just Trevor Lawrence, you know, guys like Zach Wilson and Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And so it's going to be a really, really interesting offseason. And I do think, like, just the idea of competing with Mahomes for the next 10 years has put a certain pressure on everybody to get better at the game's most important position.
Well, Albert, the question is, how many chairs in that game of musical chairs? Would you buy that they were going to have unprecedented quarterback movement over 18 or at 18?
18 sounds like a lot, but I think, you know, I would take the under on that because I just think it takes a pair to move on from your quarterback, mm-hmm. and it's easy to huff and puff about it. In January and February, it's hard to actually do it in March and April. But, you know, I think there are a couple of dominoes that if they fall, you know, now you're talking about, all right, like then you could see that movement. So, like, I mean, for example, the team's drafting second and third, right? So if they decide to move on from Darnold and Tua, all right, there are two. The three teams I mentioned, the Niners, the Raiders, the Rams, if they get aggressive, well, not only are, you know, they bringing in new quarterbacks, they're probably moving out their quarterbacks. And so I think it's really going to hinge on a few teams that have quarterbacks already that aren't in, like, an awful spot, like that aren't, like, just desperate at the position. It's going to take, like, teams like that making moves. And, again, it's easy to talk about that sort of stuff on paper in January. You know, we'll see whether it actually happens in March and April.
Do you think the Steelers, for example, they're a very similar style franchise like the Chicago Bears.
Well,
they're just way better. Do you? They've got the family ownership.
That's a great response.
Yeah. The whole thing. Do you think, like, they're going to kick Big Ben to the curb, bring a young guy in to sit behind him, go get Matthew Stafford and go, yeah, Big Ben's not healthy anymore. We're going to go make another move and try and make a run. Dak Prescott, is he going to get tagged again at like $38 million? Because if those things all happen, boy, the Bears aren't that attractive an opportunity then.
Yeah, I'm not positive. I mean, that's the thing is, like, if you have that much movement, you know what? Then that means you have to have opening somewhere. And, you know, like, so certain players could have certain options. And there are players that have no trade clauses, you know? Like, what happens with Deshaun Watson? He's got a no trade clause. What happens with Jimmy Garoppolo? He's got a no trade clause. You know, the Lions have already said specifically, we're going to work with Matthew Stafford on where he winds up, you know? And so, I mean, some of these players that are under contract that could get traded, because of the logistics of where they are, like, could wind up having a say in where they go. And that's what's so fascinating about the whole thing. You know, I know this. Like, if you look at, like, where Chicago is versus other teams, I mean, you see a defense that can really play. You see a team that wound up, you know, with 12 wins 2 years ago with, I would say, pretty average quarterback play. I don't think it's impossible to look at the Bears and say, you know what? It's not a horrible situation. So, I think the Bears have always had this going for them. Like, that's a historic franchise still. And if you win there, like, there's something that comes with that, you know? And so, I know you guys are down on them right now, but I do think that there's something to sell there. And again, it's not like they've even been horrible since they went 12-4 2 years ago. I mean, they've been 8-8 the last 2 years, which I know it's not good enough. But, you know, it's not like this is a 3-13 team. that just needs to be completely rebuilt. So now I don't think I don't look at their situation as being that unattractive to a quarterback who, you know, maybe can say, like, if I come in here, like, we need you not only to bring back Allen Robinson, but also make a couple other moves to make it right for me.
Albert, is there something in your phone that we should know about, something interesting you haven't told anyone yet?
You know what? Like, I was actually thinking about that while I always think about that while we're talking, and I was going to talk about the quarterback movement. I would just kind of keep an eye on those three teams in the West Coast, the Raiders, the Rams, the Niners. I think all three have coaches that are of a mind to at least explore upgrades at their position, at that position. And so we've seen the Raiders do it. We've seen what the Raiders have done the last, you know, couple of years and kind of sniffing around, whether it was, you know, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins 2 years ago or the kids last year in the draft. So the Raiders have been there. And I think the Rams and Niners are just going to at least kind of dip their toe in the pool and see. And so those would be three teams that I would watch. And then, you know, I also think there could be a team or two that maybe makes a massive move up the board to trade up to go get one of the quarterbacks in the draft. I'd keep an eye on the Colts. I know everybody's talking about Stafford with them, and I think that's a possibility. But I wouldn't be totally shocked if Chris Ballard kind of does what he was a part of in Kansas City, which is they built the team up in Kansas City and then wound up making a big move up for Mahomes. Wouldn't shock me if the Colts move, because they've got so many young players to pay, was to go and make a big move up the draft board to go and get their quarterback.
Hey, man, have a great day and enjoy your birthday, okay?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'm in Alabama, so fantastic place to spend your birthday, as I'm sure you guys know.
Is there anything that you go, you know what, it's my birthday, I'm going to eat, I don't care about my diet because you take care of yourself, I'm eating that. What is it?
I see, I'm too old now, so like I'm like worried about what the next day is going to feel like if I do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's another thing that sucks about being the age I'm at now. But I might be younger than you guys, I don't know.
You probably are.
I'm sorry if I made you feel bad about yourselves, too.
No, because I feel like I'm 19, so I'm good.
No, I feel good. Payday's Friday. I'm good.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. Absolutely.
Have a great
Silver
day.
Silver linings.
You got
it. All right,
it.
Guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. There he is, our guy, Albert Breer, down in frickin' Bama.
He did say that there'd be some quarterback movement. Keep in mind, the whole Matt Stafford thing, we got to ring the spell about Stafford, right? Danny gave us this yesterday. While Stafford has not won a playoff game in his career, he has made 16 starts in 9 of his last 10 seasons, and his career marks over 12 seasons, 45,000 passing yards, 282 touchdowns, 3,800 completions. They would nearly double the Bears' all-time records. I'm just saying, like, he's going to be a valuable asset to someone. You can turn a blind eye to the stats, but the stats are the stats. The numbers are the numbers.
But we always criticize Mitchell Trubisky going, hey, he picked up garbage time when they were losing. I can tell you, the people I've been listening to some of the Detroit stuff, they're like, take him. Give us whatever we can get. That guy pads his numbers when the team stinks. So who knows?
By the way, Cap, you know, besides
better than what we got.
Besides the quarterback, the head coach, and the winning, the Bears are just like the Steelers. You're right about that.
There you go.
We'll take a fast break. Is Aaron Rodgers just greedy? Greedy! That's next, plus all your calls.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So Aaron Rodgers said after the game on Sunday, I think a lot of guys' futures here are up in the air, mine included, and everyone went, whoa, you've got 3 years left on your deal. You're making $33.5 million, I believe, is his salary, which, you know, is insane money. But for a guy of his ilk, the probable MVP, people are like, he deserves a new contract, a long-term extension. He says he wants to play until he's in his 40s. He's only 37. He takes care of himself, the whole deal. And then comes the story that, guess what? Reportedly, he wants a new contract. from the Packers. So is he just being greedy? Is he demanding what he rightfully should have come in his way? How would you look at that?
Well, certainly not greedy, because he's the face of the franchise. When you have put the time in and the production in, you deserve every dollar you can get. Of course, when you are a decision maker like Mark Murphy or Jeb, one of the owners for the Green Bay Packers.
Jeb?
Yeah, Jeb from the corner store.
Oh, he has a share.
Yeah. Yeah, just like because the fans are the owners, right?
Correct.
So Jeb, he's there with all the owners. Everyone else is in nice Brooks Brothers suits and ties.
He's in overalls.
And he's in overalls, you know, with his straw hat. Saying, I agree. Like, so Jeb's there. So if you are Mark Murphy or Jeb, and you got to make that decision on Aaron Rodgers, you know, he deserves every dollar. Because Aaron Rodgers has been able to win a lot of games with less. Look at the amount of wins that the Green Bay Packers have had. Now, the issue is, next year, it'll be 30 years of Favre to Rodgers and just two championships. Two championships out of 30 years. And all that winning, but not enough to be able to get more than a couple of championships between Favre and Rodgers. So he's not greedy. He's just trying to figure out what he's worth, because he is the franchise.
Okay, so what
isn't
if he is, but what if he had handled it this way? Jeff, Danny, tell us what you think here. If he had come to the podium and went, look, folks, I'm going to be really honest and really raw for you right here. I'm gutted by this loss. I truly thought we were going to the Super Bowl and we were going to be the champs. We had a great year. We obviously fell short of our goals. I know they drafted Jordan Love, and I've worked with him this year. I think he's going to be a really good player down the road. But I'm not done. I got a lot to do, and I like playing here. So I would like to extend my relationship with Green Bay. And if they don't want to do that, I understand. I'm under contract for 3 more years. But I'm planning on playing 5, 6, 7 years more, if the good Lord will bless me with good health. So I would like to be here. No disrespect to anybody. Rather than, well, I don't know, my future's... And then comes reports that privately he's grousing that he's not making enough money and he wants a new deal. Would you have had more respect for him that way?
Yeah, I think either way, we know it's a business up front. We know that first. Anytime you turn on a game, turn on a sport, you know that it's about business first, right?
Yep.
So either it's behind the scenes or off the record, we're going to know that Aaron Rodgers is going to want a little bit more. You just know that's just part of it now.
Correct.
So you can't be surprised by the headlines, Danny.
I totally disagree. If Aaron Rodgers did what Cap just said, I would have lost respect for him. You don't negotiate in the media. I don't believe that. B, you have a 3-year deal. They pay you handsomely for your performance. You sign the deal. Now you should keep that deal. And C, we're going through a pandemic where a lot of people have lost a lot of income and a lot of wages. Mm-hmm. And to sit up there in front of the country and say how you should be paid more at this time is just, it's really tone deaf to what's going on in the world. I would have lost more respect for him than doing what he did.
Well, that was just a report. He didn't say it in the press conference.
Correct. Yeah, I'm saying what Cap...
Now, he's going to be on McAfee today, I think, so maybe he'll say it publicly on his show.
Correct. I just, like, if he went up there like Cap said and he wanted to address his contract situation after the game, and it would just really be a tone-deaf thing to do in the world that we're living in.
I don't disagree with you. However, he has 3 more years left on his deal.
Yeah, he's going to make $22.35 million in 2021, $25.5 million in 2022, $25.5 million in 2023.
Right.
Now, he's not making Patrick Mahomes money, $45 million. He's not making Deshaun Watson money, $39 million. He's not making Russell Wilson money, $35 million. But he's still paid really, really well, and he signed his name to that contract.
Correct. So then why come to the press conference and say, my future's up in the air?
Because his coach pulled the rug out from under him. The franchise drafted his replacement.
How did
instead
the coach
getting,
pull the rug? You mean by kicking the field goal?
Yeah, correct. By not giving him the opportunity to go for it on fourth down. I heard Sylvie say it perfectly yesterday. You're playing football in your backyard with your friends. You dream of fourth down. You need a touchdown to win to go to the Super Bowl. That's exactly what it was for the MVP of the league, and the coach didn't give him that chance, right?
It's not just not him, just also Mike Pettine as well. He did not have a good day at all as defensive coordinator. We talk about pressure, right? The pressure was tight on the Packers, on their coaches. It's as if they've never been in a high-level situation before. Well, they haven't. Clearly they haven't. Based on how they coached?
Correct.
And based on how the players did not perform well, Yeah, they looked like that they were tight.
Yeah, I would have preferred that he didn't throw the my future's up in the air. No, actually, you have three more years left. Your cap hit number is $33.5 million when you factor in spreading out his signing bonus. I would rather he said, look, I'm gutted by this loss right now. I got three more years left on my deal, and I hope that we win a Super Bowl while I'm here. This is where I like playing, period.
But what if he doesn't like playing there anymore? You know, what if he's pulling the Deshaun Watson move where he's going to exert his power? I'm the MVP. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not happy. Why should he say he's happy if he's not?
That's Aaron, though. Aaron's just, you can understand why Aaron, he said in the press conference as he's gutted, Mellor. He said that he was saddened by the loss. So, but Aaron does this. Well, listen, we see a lot of these press conferences from Aaron Rodgers every year, right? It usually has that tone of, I'm down. I can't believe that we lost. We're going to have changes. I've heard this more than once. Let's not be prisoner of the moment. Because he loses so much in the biggest games, I've heard the same from Rodgers. So I expect him to be back next year.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's certainly there's a woe is me. He's one of, if not the most gifted athletes to ever play that position in the sport. And yet, you know, you look across the field and Tom Brady's the one hoisting yet another conference title trophy and heading to his 10th Super Bowl. So I think that, you know, seeing all that unfold at Lambeau Field, and as Danny pointed out, you know, Matt LaFleur not giving him the opportunity when it was right there in his grasp to possibly at least tie it, I think it irritated him in conjunction with the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, his eventual replacement. You know, I don't care about how many years he has left on his deal personally. People like to act like he should be beholden to that above all else. Why? NFL teams, it's a pay-as-you-go league. You know what? You have a three-year deal, but if the Packers, for whatever reason, decide we don't want to pay Aaron Rodgers because he either his play has fallen off or he becomes injured to the point where he can no longer perform, they can walk away. Mm-hmm. There's no guaranteed money attached to the 3 years down the road. So, you know what? It's all about leverage. Aaron Rodgers is going to be named the league MVP the night before the Super Bowl. He has leverage right now. Leverage that he didn't have last April when they drafted Jordan Love. You don't like it? It's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. He's using whatever leverage he has right now to apply pressure on the organization to make a decision about him as either the long-term quarterback, or he's saying, you know what? If you're not happy with me right now, then let's sever ties at the end of this year, because I'm sick of trying to do my best and I keep getting let down by either my head coach or my defensive coordinator.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Cap J Hood, only 13% of the people say, when I snow, I pay somebody. Only 13%. 87% say they shovel.
Good luck.
Working man show. I like it.
312-332-3776. We'll get back to that. Rodgers, Watson. Are you all in on a Watson trade, no matter the price? We've never had a guy like that. We'll get it, all your calls next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Are hopping 312-332-3776. It's snowing, and oh my god, we're gonna get 20 feet of snow. Are you out there plowing? Are you out there shoveling? Do you pay someone to shovel? Cap J Hood on Twitter asks that question, and I think you said 86% do not pay someone to shovel or plow.
That is correct.
So I'm in the 14.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you.
All right, Lewis is in Morton Grove. Looking good, Lewis. Feeling good, Billy Ray, or vice versa. How are you?
Feeling good. Good morning. I'm great. So real quick, I have a very important message, seriously, but before I get to that, to my Twitch family, Bulls Nation, let's go Bulls. Another thing is, Jay Hood, I'm proud of you. You go out there and shovel your own snow. You take care of your own work. That's good cardio. On the other hand, Cap, you preach to us every day. You give us advice every morning when you're doing a sponsorship for Blue Cross Blue Shield to go out there, pump your heart, take a walk. But yet you pay someone to shovel your snow.
Yeah, like, I still work out. Man. I was
you
on
can
the
go out there, shovel your snow, pump your heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hard pass. I hate shoveling. I did it enough as a kid. Hard pass.
Hey, so no, so I wanted to say I wanted to give everyone advice, and this is a sincere advice. I've been a truck driver for 7 years. I recently just graduated school, so now I'm in IT. I'm a part-time truck driver now. But while everyone is driving, and they're driving behind a semi-truck, please don't get too close to them because the snow on top of the trailer, when it slides out of it, it slides in bulk. If that thing was to hit your windshield, you're not going, you won't be able to see for at least 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And 3 seconds going 35, 45 miles an hour is dangerous as heck. There's no way we can shovel that top of the trailer. You know what I mean? In a 53-footer.
Yeah.
So just be careful. Obviously, have fun. Enjoy it. Take your kids out. Go sledding. Go out there. Shovel. Get, you know, get good cardio if you don't work out, especially during the pandemic. But, you know, it's just be safe. Be conscious. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, when they're driving behind the trailer, they get frustrated. They're trying to pass the trailer up, and here goes a big bulk of snow falling in their windshield, and there goes an accident.
Hey, so man.
Just be careful, you guys.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Yep.
See you, buddy.
Driving on the South Shore Drive, there's someone that just didn't get the snow off of the roof of their car.
What does Sylvie call it? Snow luggage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened. Yeah, I wasn't that close to the car, but the wind starts taking that snow off, and all of a sudden it's right on my windshield.
You're like,
and you're blurred for like five seconds. That happened to this morning.
And that's
morning.
Like the length of a football field.
That was this morning.
I was guilty of that this morning, guys. I'm not going to lie. Full confession. I left my
sakes.
Well, because I turned my half of the garage into a gym, I had to leave my car outside.
That doesn't mean anything to me as a driver. I don't know about your home gym.
But what I'm saying, I'm confessing, I'm getting it off my chest so I don't feel guilty. I cleaned the windows and everything, but I left the snow luggage on top. And when I got onto Lake Avenue, I hit the gas really hard to get as much of it off as possible so I didn't cause an accident.
He'd rather do it here than go to Temple.
Exactly.
they don't want me to give them money just to admit I made a mistake.
That doesn't absolve you of the sin, just confessing it.
That does. I feel better now.
The guy who's over at Gerber right now getting the damage looked at because you're snow.
Moving forward, are you going to clear the snow off of your car before you get in the street, or are you going to continue to do it and just confess it every
day? No, confess it every day. Like, it. I literally, yes. By just telling, looking in Hoodie's eyes and saying I made that mistake, I literally feel better.
It stops you from going to Temple. If I just absolve my sins, I feel better.
Right here on the radio.
But I'll do it again tomorrow.
Hoodie, I don't know how it works there, but 5 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers, and you'll be okay.
That's true.
They tell us everything's in denominations of $18, so they'll be like, give us 18 times 4, and you're clear to go.
Oh,
that's
man.
True. You would go, Danny, when his kids, they're too young, when my kids, who aren't even Jewish other than Brett, my 3 stepsons, they get invited to all these bar mitzvahs. Why do we give $18? Because that is what they do in our religion. 18, it means life.
It means it's high.
Yes.
High. And that means high.
Yeah.
And it means life.
Correct.
So you give in denominations of 18.
18. So like if it was a really good friend when you were a kid, $36 or $54. That's like, whoa.
I am high off of life.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Me. How about that?
Are you all in on the Deshaun Watson discussions? Like, all in. Because you don't have a young quarterback like Tua to give back. If he says, I'm not going to Miami or New York, I want to go to Chicago. I'm not saying he would. But if he did, are you all in on whatever the price is? Hey, Curtis, what do you think, man?
Good morning to you guys, Jay Hood. It is such a great morning here in Minnesota. It's nice to hear from you guys.
Yes, sir.
First, I want to say, because it's been a while since I talked to you guys, I want to give my condolences to you and your family, Cap. I had lost my father to diabetes when he's 35. I'm a lot aware of it now, and I really want to tell you, Cap, that the good Lord is going to bless you and your family. Just keep on doing what you're doing, because you're a great dude, and it's an honor and a privilege to hear you and give your fun times and everything together. So you're a great dude. Minnesota loves you.
I greatly appreciate you saying that. It's weird. It's been just over a month. She died December 21st. And I have days where I get up, grab my coffee, I pet my dogs, kiss my wife, and I leave, and I'm like, I'm okay. I'll go through this. And then, like the other day, something happened in my life, and I literally reached for the phone to call my mom, and I'm like, oh, God. Like, it's literally reached for the phone and went,
I can't do that.
Yep.
I fully understand it. I just had to say, but I had to get that off my chest to tell you, man, because
appreciate you.
I sincerely feel you.
Appreciate you. What's your thoughts on Watson?
My second thought was about Watson, because I was 100% in for Watson. But then I started to look at our team and, like, what we need, you know what I'm saying, on both offense and defense. So I was at 100%. Now I'm down to 80%. So I don't know, because, I mean, we need a line. We need some backup to Keem Hicks for run stoppage. We have so many holes. So I'm wavering on yes, we should get him, but we don't want to bet the whole house to get him. So I don't know how that's going to turn around, but I'm down to 80%.
Hey, man, appreciate the call and very kind words. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Curtis.
Hey, Minnesota loves you.
Right back here, I love Minnesota. It's where I went to college. Loved it up there.
Did you have a hard fall? Why'd you calm down?
So I hit the console, yes. And my Apple Watch says, are you okay? Did you fall? And then I said, I did not fall. Then it says, are you okay? Yes.
And then the other question was, stop pounding the console when you talk.
Exactly.
Yes.
I just get fired up.
Would you just calm down?
Never.
911's going to come here one day. You're going to be like, I was just fired up about the Bears.
CFD will come running in the Chicago Fire Department and be like, where is he? Man down. Nope. Not yet. Thank God. Jag or not a Jag?
Oh, that is the question.
Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, it used to be you'd cover a game. Hoodie and I do this all the time. We did. Cover a game, then you go into the press conference and there'd be Bob Knight sitting 8 feet from you,
yeah.
Mike Krzyzewski or the late Lou Henson, Ray Meyer through the year. All these great coaches. Now with pandemic, everything's on Zoom. So you hit the little button to raise your hand on the Zoom or the Teams app and you go, yes, Jonathan Hood, ESPN Chicago.
Yes.
Coach, congratulations on your, victory. Your thoughts on this? And they give you some answer. Then the next person. Well, Danny was a student reporter at the University of Kansas. And he's dealing with Roy Williams, Hall of Famer, legend. I've talked to people because Newhouse School of Broadcasting at Syracuse, you're dealing with Jim Boeheim, who could be hard on student reporters because he felt it was his job to... It ain't going to be easy in that field. I am not going to coddle you. Mike Krzyzewski, his team's struggling this year. They're not that good.
No, they're not.
He gets asked a question after a tough loss the other day by Jake Piazza, the student newspaper writer for the Duke paper. And this is that exchange.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? I'm not into... what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. I don't know if, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world, and when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that...
No.
You have some empathy and just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
I can understand where he's coming from, Meller, because Kay's never lost a game before. So it's hard for him to answer that question. He's been asked that a million times by veteran reporters, and let's go step by step with that. First of all, he steps on the kid's question.
Yep.
Steps on the kid's question. He anticipated, knew what he's going to ask because the kid's a little shaky, a little intimidated to say, Coach K, what's your next step forward after this game? And he steps on the question. Secondly, on top of that, he's asking three times, what's your hardest class? What's your major? I asked, like, Well, you know, the kids, he muted himself. You got to take time. He's not going to answer you immediately. Point is, though, it's about tone.
But he didn't raise his voice.
It's tone.
Yes, he did.
Oh, wait a minute.
I could. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
I have no issue with what he did. He did not raise his voice. He didn't go.
He did.
Hey, he did raise his voice. It's just the volume's up on that thing.
Also, with the three times, what's your major? That might not be Coach K's fault or the student's fault. So the administrator that's running the question and answer, probably Duke's PR person, probably muted the student after he asked the question.
Probably.
And he had to unmute him for him to answer it. But Coach K probably had no clue that was going on.
Let me ask you a question. Why does the kid have to give him empathy from a soft question? Empathy? You haven't lost a game before? Yeah, you lost the contest. You can understand. Give us some empathy. You don't get any empathy, Kay. You're a blue blood program. And you're a Hall of Fame coach. You don't get empathy, pal.
What's he trying to teach him there? To kowtow to the $9 million man who gets paid by Duke there yearly?
He's not asking him to kowtow. He said, rather than me giving you a long-term perspective, let's just talk about the game that I just finished 10 minutes ago.
How about answer the question? You know what? Your job as the coach of a basketball program is to go up there after the game and answer the question. And you know what? He can sidestep it pretty easily. All he has to say is he doesn't have to grill the student. Are there a lot of reporters there that need to be grilled? You know what?
It's a question.
You can, again.
I think we're so soft.
It's not about being soft. You're the head coach of a college basketball program. Mm-hmm. The most famous college basketball program currently going over the last decade or so, right? Uh-huh. If not 20 years. I don't know what the kid's supposed to learn from this. That he's the almighty when it comes to college basketball, and to defer to him and don't ask him tough questions after they lose during a hard year?
I knew.
Answer the question. Simply say, we lost a tough game to Louisville. You know what? You're not, if I'm taking an econ test, you know what's not part of the job? Answering questions after the econ test. It's a false equivalency.
Yes.
It's not the same.
What's my next step forward? What's my next step forward to pass the next test?
I don't make $9 million a year to answer questions after my econ test. In fact, I pay tuition to go to Duke, so I don't have to answer questions after a bad test.
So I went up, I said to my wife, she was in the middle of writing something for work. I said, hon, do me a favor. Just take a break for a second. I have my perspective on this. I would like your perspective.
She felt pressured.
She felt pressured, yes. 100%. I said, okay, I want you to listen to this. Mute the Bulls game, put it on. She's like, okay, what am I listening to? I said, that's Coach K. She said, yeah. Do you think he was inappropriate in his answer? She said, no. I think it was a great learning experience for that young man. She said, I have no issue whatsoever with what Coach K said. You know, like you wrote on here, like I have all these tiles on my computer screen that Jeff puts in there, or JR. It says, Coach K goes off on student report.
Well,
he didn't go off.
I wouldn't say go, but
it's so we're so soft in this society.
I just didn't like the tone because the question is, well, you know, after you pass your econ test or quiz, what's the next step forward to pass the next test? That's what Duke has to do. Pass the next test. You failed this test against Louisville. Pass the next test.
Right.
That's the answer. He could have gave that same answer that he would give to some 20 or 30 year veteran down there. Could have gave the same answer, but he saw it was a kid and took the opportunity to answer it that way. He didn't have to.
I thought he used it as a teaching experience. I can't give you a long-term perspective right now because we just got our ass beat by Louisville.
There you go.
And I am trying to process what went wrong there before I could tell you what we're going to do long-term. I just think we're in a society that, oh, God, Coach K actually tried to teach something
there.
What
did he teach him, though? He embarrassed him publicly, and it wasn't until the aftermath on social media that he decided he needed to call him and apologize.
Enough said. Social media outrage that he had to call him. That's such a joke.
He didn't have to call him. You know what he could have done, though? He could have answered it just the way you answered it without calling him out publicly for all to see and embarrass the kid. And then, you know what? If he wanted to make it a teachable moment, that same phone number that he called him on to apologize, he could have called him on and said, you know what? Just a little direction here. Your question is a pretty broad, and it doesn't leave me a lot of room to answer. So maybe be a little more specific in your questions going forward. And it didn't have to be an embarrassment publicly.
I didn't think it was an embarrassment. I really didn't.
Better, if that had been my son, I had no issue with it.
Better that he apologized than being choked by Coach Knight for the question.
That's different. Like, Coach Knight, I've been in there when he goes off.
Danny?
I'm kind of with Cab that it's a learning experience. I have a personal experience with this. I cover the Kansas Jayhawks for the student TV station and the student newspaper. Roy Williams talked to the student reporters differently than he talked to, like, Jason Whitlock worked for the Kansas City Star when I was there. Roy Williams, the way he talked to Jason Whitlock was completely different than the way he talked to me. And the way he would talk to me was,